Hello there, this is Mark, your fat friend from the Fat and Black Connection, and I'm here to tell you about Anchor. If you haven't heard about it, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First of all, it's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many other services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Do me a favor and go download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started on your very own. Good day, everyone. I am Mark, your fat friend.
And I'm James, your black friend.
And this is the Fat and Black Connection,
where we talk about anything and everything. Well, you know, of course, as long as it's interesting to us, of course.
Absolutely, because why would we talk about anything else?
Right?
Yeah. You know, if this was a podcast about, wickets and crumpets and tea, we wouldn't be doing it. So, because none of that stuff interests us.
Crumpets and tea. I don't think I've ever had crumpets and tea, let alone like them.
Yeah,
to talk about them.
I don't think I've ever held a wicket in my hands. Have you?
I don't even know what a wicket really is. So
it's something in cricket.
Oh, okay.
Wicket cricket. Wicket, anyways, cricket. Anyways. So it's a special Saturday edition of Fat and Black Connection.
Yeah.
So There's a lot of reasoning behind us doing a Saturday afternoon.
Right.
And part of that is, James, you finally.
Finally.
Have started a new job.
I started working. Yes. Yes.
So my can you tell us a little bit about it?
My birth certificate fiasco is over. And no, there's actually a whole lot I can't tell you about it.
Oh, okay.
So.
But you have started a new job.
I have started. I'm truly the class that I'm with is most of them are pretty fun. We've had a lot of fun in our classroom settings. There is that one guy. We do have one guy in that class who pretty much after everything has to make a comment or something, and that's annoying. But overall, But overall, we've had a lot of fun. It's been a very busy week. A lot of different people coming in, letting us know what they do and talking to us about how to maybe move in that direction. And so I'm really excited about the growth potential and the growth opportunities that I will have within this organization. So
nice. And so as we've already said, this is a live interactive show. It is Saturday, April 16th, 2022. It's approximately 1:03 on the Pacific. So we're interactive. What does that mean, James?
Oh, that means we want your comments. We want to know what you're thinking about. We want to know how you're feeling about what we're talking about. So if you have a comment, please throw it in there. We read them. Sometimes even we've taken the show in a different direction because of it, you know, just on the fly. So we want to know what you're thinking. We want to know how you're feeling. Want to say what's up. That's all we're looking for. We
Absolutely.
Throw you out there. We even post the comments down at the bottom for you.
And we've got a big show today. We've got a lot to do.
Show. Yes.
And so with that being said, I think we should just dive on in if you
want. Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
So the first and foremost that where we need to start is recalling back to a couple of weeks ago, pre-WrestleMania, if you will. I had posted that Stone Cold Steve Austin, a good friend of the show, was going to be coming basically out of retirement to have one last match, if you will. And a friend of ours from high school, Chris, he bet his beard that it wouldn't be a match, that it would be a stunner and a beer bath, and that would be it. And I took that bet. And unfortunately for Chris, he lost.
And it was a match. It was interesting. It was entertaining. It was engaging. And Chris did send us a photo of his beard. And he has graciously agreed to join us today.
Yes.
To shave his beard.
Yes.
And so before we bring him in, I want to just set the stage a little bit. So this is a guy that we have known for over 20 years at this point. We went to high school together. Yeah. Chris and I were in the same class, which is one behind James. We did theater together. We've done a lot. We've played Dungeons and Dragons together. while I can't remember the last time I saw Chris in person, I think the last time I saw him in person was when I directed West Side Story. You were my assistant director, and Chris was actually our fight choreographer. Yeah. And I think that's the last time I saw Chris in person and worked with him, and that was a lot of fun. I'm excited to bring him onto our show. And James, you got anything you want to say about the guy before we bring him in?
No, man, I spent a lot of time at this guy's house. He was basically, he's like family. So, I was the MC of his wedding. I mean, 4th of July, pretty much any holiday type deal, I was at his crib. Oh, and can't forget Thanksgiving and Christmas, Thanksgiving, and was like either gumbo or jump. His mom makes great gumbo, by the way. Like, if you didn't know, you would think it was a black woman. But but the gumbo is phenomenal. He is like a brother. And so I am glad. Live from the Bay Area, we can bring this guy in to shave that beard.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's bring him in. His name is Chris. Here he comes.
There he is.
How What's you up, doing? Gentlemen? I'm good. I'm good.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, Chris, tell us about yourself, whatever you want.
Like you both said, grew up in the sunny Bay Area. I got to know you guys through high school. I am a high school theater teacher now, so I left the theater student realm and am now a teacher. You might hear on the side, my little one's here to watch me shave my beard too. Spent some time in Arizona, actually. That was where I got my teaching credential.
Yeah.
Was where I got to break from you guys for a while and go off on my own, like we all do. I think, Mark, I think you're right. I think the last time we saw in person was West Side Story, which is a blast, which is the other thing I do is I do some fight choreography on the side. And I'm, like you joked, a big D&D player. I actually have my own, I'm part of a D&D podcast. We do a what's called an actual play. We're in our fourth season. We're called Seasons of Skyrend. It's myself, my wife, Shannon, our good friend from high school, Scott, who was also in my wedding. He's our dungeon master. And then another friend of mine from work, Nate. We've been running for 4 years. We're creeping up towards what may be a very deadly battle in the next few weeks. To get a little hint.
Sheesh.
So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Cool. Obviously, a very avid wrestling fan.
Yes. I mean, we wouldn't have you here if you weren't, because otherwise you would have put your beard on the line for it.
Exactly.
So let's talk about the beard a little bit. As those of you that are watching live can see, it's quite magnificent. For those of you that are listening, it is long. It is how long would you say that is? A good 4 inches? Five inches?
A good four. When I straighten it out and pull it down, it's probably 5 or 6. It's a good length.
It's a chin mane.
Yeah, it is very flowing. Unfortunately, he didn't straighten it for us today, folks. I apologize. And it's very almost Fidel looking.
That's the first time I've had it described that way. I think that's a comment on the salt and pepper in it, and I will take it as a compliment.
Yes, there is a lot more gray in there than I would expect for your age.
I'm creeping up on 40. Less than a year away. And
I guess being a high school teacher will do that to you.
Yeah,
I have a joke with all my students. Each one of these gray hairs is a name.
Yeah, I'm sure they can be. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, why grow the beard? Why to the extent that it is? Tell us about it.
Well, I'll be honest. I never liked myself clean shaven. Since high school, or since college, really, right after high school, I always kept some sort of facial hair. Usually it was a tight goatee. And then a few years ago, I started keeping the goatee in the warmer months and then growing the full beard in the colder months. And then when our first COVID quarantine hit, I just gave up on shaving entirely. I'm like, why the heck am I going to do that?
I ain't going out nowhere.
And so at that point, I grew out what we in the beardsman community call my first yeard, which is a beard that you've grown for a full year. And then when we went back to school last year at about this time, I shaved it down to a nice, tight, clean, or what some people would call clean beard, for better comfort in my mask. And then just didn't shave it again from there because I realized I really did prefer the length. And I think I look great in it.
Fair enough. And it does look good on you. I will say that as well. I'm not sad to see it go, but I would fully expect a year from now, you'll probably be back to about this.
Oh yeah. I've been telling everyone I shave it today and it starts growing tomorrow. yeah, it'll start growing as soon as the razor comes off the face.
There you go. There you go.
So how does your family feel about you doing this today?
You know, my wife is supportive of all of my facial hair choices, and has been since we started dating. And there's been a lot of them over the years.
Yeah.
I think the only one she didn't support was when I was in a production of Mary Poppins and I grew out a handlebar, and she did not like the handlebar.
So, yikes.
I think it was so gross.
Yikes. Did you have it the grease and everything?
Did you use the grease wax. I waxed it out, and like I can get a little handlebar now if I really tried. But yeah, full on like waxed and everything. And the weirdest moment of your life is when your stage wife and your real wife both commiserate on how much they hate kissing you. so that was a fun moment.
At least you had both of them on the same page.
Yeah, you know, there you go. There's that.
Doing something right.
So yeah, and then my little one is here watching because she's, you know, she's four. Processing that sort of big change is weird and wild for her. Sure. She's actually for the last few months been like, "Daddy, I want you to shave." And then when it came up to it, she's like, "I don't want you to shave." And I told her, you know, the same thing we tell her about her own hair. Hair grows, honey.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. Until it doesn't. So
there is that.
Yeah. It's so all right. I think. James, do you have any questions before we get to the big show?
No, I'm just ready to see this because I've been waiting. I've been waiting to see it.
All right. So then the question I have for you is because I've got an electric razor here and I'm going to go electric. Do you want me to mute my mic and you guys narrate over it? Or do you want to hear the like buzz of this?
We want to hear it.
Oh, I want to hear it all. Go ahead and just back away from the mic a little bit or move the mic back a little bit. But yeah, I want the whole shabazz.
All right. Here we go.
All right. So he is now straight on with the clippers.
Oh, wait.
That thing is struggling. Oh, man.
You hear it. You hear it. There
now,
it is.
I know for those of you that are listening to this after the fact, this probably isn't as entertaining for you. And I'm sorry. But what this should do is encourage you to go watch this.
Yes.
I will make sure to take this specific segment of our show and split it out to its own clip.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Chris. Wowzers. By the way, Chris, we're gonna need this after picture too, just so that we can can have it side by side.
I got you. Yeah. Oh, thank you.
I love when we get these random messages on the different platforms.
Yeah, like
oh, that's funny. Gotta get that Nick beard.
Look at that.
Oh, man. So I would say, is almost halfway done here. And
hold up some of that hair, man.
Well,
yikes.
You can't see it, but I really nicked my lip. That's fun.
Oh no.
Yeah, I'll be okay.
Yeah.
I got a towel right here, so if I need it, it's right here. Yeah, all this is going onto a towel in front of me you can't see, but when I'm done, I'll move the camera down and you get a full shot of what it looks like.
So I'm curious as to the places that accept hair donations. Do they accept beard hair?
No.
You can't grow it long enough. Or like the average person can't grow it long enough. There's a terminal length for most beards that you won't get past. It's different for every person. So I'm pretty sure I'm at about that with this beard, which is the other reason why.
I'm not going to lie to you right now, Chris. You kind of look like your dad right now.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm leaving the stash on for purpose. Like, I figure the last look you'll get is of me looking almost exactly like my dad.
Yeah.
I'm really happy with how well this clipper is holding up.
That's really good.
Yeah, it sounded like it was struggling, but it's doing the job.
Oh, it's getting through.
This is
you had full chin too, huh?
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, so when you construct your beard, this is really weird. But you got to grow the under part to give it the structure. Or else it looks really wispy and like just not attractive at all.
Oh.
And I learned that the hard way with the first beard, where I had like essentially it was like chin cubes.
That's about what James
fun.
Grows.
This is a fun look.
you went too far back with it. If that was at the tip, it might be doable.
That would have looked really. That would be the real Billy Goat right there.
It's hard because everything is like really opposite right now.
Yeah. Using the screen as a mirror.
Yep.
There. Oh wait.
Oh man.
Wow. Look at that. Yeah.
So there's the Lou DeMello beard right there, the Lou beard.
That's his dad, like straight up.
Yeah.
That is his dad.
All right, here goes the mustache, folks.
Oh, man. Look at that.
There's that high school face.
Yeah, there he is.
God, I hated that face.
But the ladies loved it, man.
No, they didn't. You knew me in high school. There were zero ladies. No, there was a very small handful, let's be honest. They were all great. Okay.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Who is that guy? That's not the same guy we... Oh, yeah, you got it. Yeah, there you go. Clean that up a little bit. Okay. All right, we have to expect beard updates, man. Look at that.
Oh yeah, I can do that. That's easy. All right, so I'm gonna clean it up a little later with this guy.
No worries.
I think this is a good. You want to see what the pile looks like?
Yes.
Oh my lanta!
It looks like there's a dead animal on this table.
What is that? What is that thing?
It's like a tumbleweed of facial hair.
Oh, hey. Guys, it's so cold. How do you live like this?
I live in the desert, so it helps.
I actually did pretty good. I didn't make as big of a mess as I thought I was going to.
Ask every lady every day.
Now, what's interesting to me is I was fully expecting that once this thing was shaved off, you were going to look like 10 years younger. And you do look slightly younger, but it's not 10 years. It's maybe like a couple years, like 2 or 3 years. And so the beard didn't age you as much as I thought it did.
No, not at all.
It's interesting. So
it's good to see your face again.
Do you feel more aerodynamic?
I feel colder. I'm looking at myself going, that is not me. Definitely will like what and the reason why I'll take the actual trimmer to it later is then I can get a full like clean from nothing growth, which is the easiest way to maintain it when I grow it back. And yeah, I'll gladly send you updates if you want them.
That'd be great. We'll see how
it goes. I very much appreciate you being a man of your word, sticking true to the bet and shaving that sucker off.
Well, and I will say too, that you know, I said it on the chat the last time I was on the show. Well, not on the show, but in the chat. This was probably the first bet I've ever been very happy to lose because it was a great experience watching that match with Stone Cold.
So we've got Debbie checking in asking, what does your daughter think?
Haley, what do you think? She says ew.
Don't worry, it'll be back soon.
Oh yes. Enough.
How long do we? So how much will you grow in like a week, let's say?
So when I get, if I get it down to just like shave smooth skin, I'll get about this in a couple of days, and then it'll start to look like it's not growing for a while, like it does. But by the end of the month, I should look like I've got a halfway decent, like conservative beard is what I call it. That like really tight beard.
Yeah.
And then I'll start to get some noticeable length the next like 3 months.
Okay. Okay.
Well, we had talked to Chris before we went on the air about some of the things we were going to talk about today. And Chris is going to hold over for one more segment with us. So let's shift gears from beard shaving, because that was a lot of fun.
That was.
But let's talk about something a little bit more serious for a minute. And that is the Will Smith and Chris Rock drama coming to a bit of a somewhat of an early conclusion. I don't know that this thing is done per se. But just kind of setting the stage for those of you that are been locked away in a hole putting lotion on your skin. Back at the Oscars a couple weeks ago, Chris Rock made a joke at the expense of Will Smith's wife, Jada Pinkett Smith, along the lines of talking about her shaved head, which she had, and making a G.I. Jane joke, which... whether he knew or not, evidently Jada Pinkett Smith has alopecia, which is a hair loss disease.
Hey, Mark, yeah. I hate to interrupt you, but my kid is apparently having a meltdown. I'm actually have to go early. I'm sorry.
All right. No worries. No
well,
worries.
We appreciate it's a pleasure you. Joining you guys. And if you want to do a check-in in the future, like when I'm back to year length and like a year later or whatever you want to do, I'd gladly, if I can work it out, join you. That was a lot of fun.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. All right. Thanks, Chris.
Take care.
And he's gone.
All right. Well, unfortunately.
So resetting the stage a little bit. So obviously this slap happened where Chris Rock made the joke at Will Smith's wife's expense. Will Smith kind of somehow lost his mind, if you will. Went up on stage, slapped Chris live in front of millions of viewers.
And then swore at him.
And then used some profanity multiple times. He was obviously there are a lot of things that have happened since then. He has resigned from the Academy. He has now been given a 10-year ban from even attending the Oscars or any event affiliated with the Academy. So. Yeah, that was the big news that came out this last week was him basically receiving that 10-year ban. What do you think about that?
Hey, you did what you did. And, you know, and I mean, this is what we talk about, holding people accountable. You did what you did. Now you have lost your privilege to attend these events for the next 10 years.
You know, do you think that that was enough? Do you think that that was fair?
I'm actually surprised there. I mean, I was going to say fine, but at the same time, this is going to hurt his pocketbook. I think in some form.
I mean, there's already been a Netflix film that has canceled production on a movie he was slated to do.
If it was Bright 2, I don't care, because that the first one was okay, but not.
No, it was some. It was a new concept film. I don't.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've heard like there's a couple. I mean, there's some people that don't want to work with them again. And you know, that's unfortunate. I think this was kind of a one off thing. Of him losing his cool, but I could understand people not wanting to risk it. So yeah, like I said, this is going to hurt his pocketbook and a 10-year ban on being able to celebrate one of the film's biggest nights. It's going to hurt too. So, I mean, this is
where I think it hurts his pocketbook the most is what producer or production company in their right mind is going to want to hire him knowing that he basically can't be nominated for any role that he does in the next 10 years.
Well, see, but at the same time, he can't be nominated, but doesn't mean that he can't help a film. And doesn't mean like the film could still, I think if he was in a film and the film is good enough. I still think the film could be nominated. I think that his supporting actors can be nominated. If the soundtrack is good, if they have good music, if they have good cinematography, if they have all that kind of stuff, I think they can be just fine. Unfortunately, he just won't be. Well, I don't even know if he could be nominated, it doesn't really matter. He won't be able to be there. So that's just the main thing, is that if he's in a film and the film is good enough, and I think if the film deserves to be nominated, I truly believe that it should be nominated. And just unfortunately, he won't be able to be a part of it.
Yeah, I mean, if it's me, I'm not touching him with a 10-foot pole for at least a couple years.
And like I said, I think there have already been some producers that said they don't want to work with him. I truly believe this was kind of just a one-off thing. I hope as a fan of Will Smith, I hope this was a one-off thing. And if whatever kind of counseling, whatever he needs to get back on the right track, by all means, take it. But people need to be held accountable, and this is the Academy holding him accountable. He's definitely done some soul searching, in some of the posts that I've seen, and he's trying to get back, but it's definitely going to hurt him a little bit. But hey, I will still be a Will Smith fan.
Oh yeah, I mean, Wild Wild West, one of the greatest films ever made. So,
psych. There was actually real quick before we do leave this, there was one of those posts that came out and had a number of different black actors, and not too long after. And people were like, oh yeah, Will Smith, it was like choose two have to go. And it was like Morgan Freeman, Denzel, Chris Rock, and some other people. I can't remember exactly who, but people were like right after Will Smith. And I was like, bruh, you do realize if Will Smith and all his work goes, that is Men in Black. The Men in Black series, Independence Day. I'm sorry, I can't give up Independence Day. I still love that movie. So, Wild Wild West has problems, but that's still, every once in a while, it's a good watch.
Okay, so between the three, Denzel, Morgan Freeman, and Will Smith, which one would you get rid of?
Oh, I'm not getting rid of nobody.
No.
If I had to.
Which body of work?
Ooh. That is a tough question. Might have to come back to that.
Cop out. That's a cop out, my friend. All right, let's talk about the NBA playoffs.
Yes, sir. I was watching the Jazz Mavs game.
It was a it's a four-header today, right?
Yeah,
four games.
Yeah, so it's Jazz Mavs, I believe, is over at this point in time. It is gold tonight on ABC, your ABC affiliate. It will be Golden State and Denver, and I believe on the other end, it is I want to say the 76ers and Raptors and Bucks and Bulls. And I believe
so. I can tell you right now, so the Jazz started. Won.
The Jazz did win. Okay,
they won 99-93.
Okay.
We also have the Timberwolves playing the Grizzlies right now. They're in the second quarter. Timberwolves are up 44-37.
Never mind. Cancel what I said on the other side. Yeah. So
we've got the Raptors playing the 76ers at 3, and then the Nuggets playing the Warriors at 5:30.
Right.
So we already know game one for one game is done, but let's talk about our picks. Let's kind of do some bracket breakdown like we did with the NFL. Yeah. And let's pick our champions. So let's go ahead and start. Do you prefer the East or the West?
You know what? Let's go ahead and break down. Let's do the East first. Let's not have the East.
All right. So we'll just start top down. We've got the 1 versus the 8, the Heat versus the Hawks.
Heat. But I'm a Heat fan, so.
Yeah, and I know you are, and I think that that's a fair assessment there. I think the Hawks got in, you know, by the skin of their teeth, and good for them. But I think the Heat should handedly deal with them. If they don't, that will be more disconcerting. Next up on that side, we've got the 76ers and at the Raptors, or vice versa. I'm sorry. Where are you leaning there?
Man, 76ers have been kind of on a roll at the end of the season, so I'm gonna have to go with them.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the Raptors look strong finishing out the season, but I think the 76ers are probably gonna be able to deal with them. Next up is Bucks Bulls.
I'm definitely going Bucks.
Absolutely. That's pretty much a no-brainer.
Yeah, the Bulls have not been the same since the 90s.
Well, and the Bulls started off strong. I think they closed weak. And yeah, going into the playoffs, that's not where you want to be.
Absolutely not. I think they lost. Yeah, they lost what, like five of their last games?
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Then you've got the Celtics and the Nets.
You know what?
I'm actually interested in this matchup from an enjoyable standpoint. I think this one probably goes, what do they do in the first round? It's five, right?
No, it's actually seven, apparently.
It's seven all the way?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. I thought it was five to start. And then like
I'd see this one easily going to six, if not seven.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I think the Celtics might actually pull this out.
I think they should, and if they don't, again, kind of similarly to the Heat Hawks.
I guarantee if Brooklyn gets by them, I don't think they're getting past the Bucks.
Well, yeah. So based off of what we said, and I think we pretty much agreed on all four there. So that would bring us to a Heat 76ers matchup. And I think I know what you're going to say.
Oh, yeah. Heat. Well, I'm going with the Heat.
Okay. I think the 76ers actually take them down. I think this is one that goes to six or seven with the 76ers coming out on top.
All right.
So then we'd have a Bucks and Celtics matchup.
Yeah, and I think the Bucks are going to the semifinals.
So I agree with you there. I think the Bucks are definitely the stronger team down on that side of the bracket. So that would lead us to, for your scenario, a Heat and Bucks matchup to go into the finals. Who are you picking there?
I'm sticking with the Heat going to the finals.
Okay, and for me, it would be a 76ers Bucks, and I would be going with the Bucks going to the finals.
Okay. They're defending champions, right?
Who, the Bucks?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's take a look at the West, shall we?
To the West we go.
We've got the Suns and the Pelicans.
Suns.
Yeah, that should be, again, a pretty no-brainer, I would hope. Maverick at Jazz.
Today the Jazz were on and the Mavericks were just not. I mean, and the Mavericks are missing a couple of their star players right now, so that could put them at a disadvantage. They did actually kind of, with the final score, they did kind of hold up. So, but at the end of the day, I think the Mavs might be able to pull this out. I think they might be able to pull it out.
We're going to have an early split. I'm going with the Jazz here.
Okay.
I think that I don't think the Mavs have the intensity going into the playoffs. So,
I mean, and like I said, I think they are missing two of their big stars, and I don't know if they'll be back at any point during this series at all. I know one. I think their center, I believe, is out. If they make a long run, he might be able to. Come. Back, but I don't know. What is
next one up? We've got the Warriors and Nuggets.
I'm going to Golden State.
Yeah, that to me is again kind of a no-brainer. You've got the big three of that team still intact, all healthy, all looking good.
I think tonight. I think they said Steph is a possibility, but I think he's going to want to get in there if he can. They might limit his minutes, of course, but
and they should, but
he's going to want to get in there.
You've still got a deep and strong bench.
Oh, their bench is ridiculous.
Yeah, so
absolutely ridiculous.
You could start without any of the big three in this game, and I would feel still good about them. So
very comfortable.
All right, heading down to the final. You've got the Grizzly and the who the heck are they?
The Timberwolves. Yeah, yes. I'll take the Grizzlies.
Yeah, Memphis, absolutely. I agree. The Grizzlies. So let's head back up. We already have our split. So
weren't they in Vancouver?
Who?
The Grizzlies?
No, they're Memphis.
No, before. Like, the Grizzlies started someplace else, didn't they?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I think they did. But
so we've got, for you, the Suns and Mavs. Who are you picking there?
Oh, the Suns. I think the Suns are going to go. Like, then this is one of those situations where I think the number one is definitely going to the semifinals.
Okay. I'm Suns Jazz. I agree with you. I think the Suns are moving forward here. So then down the bottom, we're both on the same page. We'd have the Warriors and Grizzlies.
Those have been tough matchups. Those have, like, throughout the season, the Warriors had a tough time against the Grizzlies, but a lot of times the Warriors like to show up. You know, they definitely show up when it gets to playoff time. So with everybody being healthy by that time, if everybody's healthy by that time, nothing crazy goes on in this first round, I definitely fully expect the Warriors to move on to the semifinals.
Oh, and again, another split. While I am a Warriors fan, I think that the Grizzlies, I think they've got their number and have had their number. And so I think, unfortunately, again, I think this is a 6 or 7 game series.
Yeah.
But I think the Grizzlies are going to win it to go to the semis.
Okay.
So this brings you to a Suns Warriors semis.
Yeah. And for me, and because this is kind of just a heart feeling, because I'd like to see it, because there would be a definite split in my home, because as a Heat fan, my brother's a Warrior fan, so I would like to see that finals. But at the same token, the Suns have been very, very unstoppable. So I kind of think that it would be about. I think it's going to go full series for the semifinals if it's Suns Warriors.
But ultimately Suns?
Suns. Ultimately, okay. Yeah.
Okay. And for me, it would be Suns Grizzlies, and I'm going with the Grizzlies.
Okay.
So for your matchup in the finals, that would put you with the Suns and the Heat.
Yeah. And then, you know, I'm going with, actually, sheesh, that'd be tough. Because I think, because here's the thing, the Suns are definitely fired up because of their loss last season, so they're definitely looking for redemption. But I'm hoping they're still looking for redemption due to the fact that the Heat would take it.
So you're going with the Heat?
I'm going with the Heat, mm-hmm. All the way.
And for my finals matchup, I've got the Grizzlies and the Bucks, and I think I'm gonna have to go with the Bucks, going back to back.
Back to back. Okay. Hasn't really happened much lately, so it'd be
No, it hasn't. So no. We'll see what happens. Those are our picks at this point. I'm sure 2 weeks from now, we'll be doing the next round and we'll see where we're at that point. But yep. That's where we are today, folks, with that one. It's time to shift gears and head on over to entertainment.
Entertainment.
Let's talk about some stuff that has come out. And Sony released a trailer just in the last couple of days that to me was hilarious. And we got to talk about it. It's Ned's Bogus Adventure. So this was released as something that is with the Spider-Man No Way Home Blu-ray release or whatever. I don't know if it was a joke. Did you watch this trailer?
No, I did not watch this trailer. But I will check, because I know I do have No Way Home. and I have the have all the special edition. I haven't seen this yet. I don't know if it. So it, I'm sure it's on there.
So basically, what it's insinuating is that Ned, now with his newly found magical abilities, is going through portals that he creates to go into Tobey Maguire's Spider-Verse and interacts there and sees like Macho Man Randy Savage hitting him with the chair. And then he also goes through another portal and goes to Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man universe. So again, I have no idea if this is legit or if it was just a joke, but I want it to be real. And since Sony Entertainment made this trailer and posted it on their own page, it makes me think that they're doing something with it, because this didn't come out on April 1st.
No, and this is, I mean, and I could see them just, I mean, it could, if anything, it would be maybe just a short or something that they make. I don't see it being like a full length thing.
Yeah. So I would highly recommend, if you haven't seen the trailer, give it a watch. It's up on our page.
Yeah.
It's it's entertaining. Sticking in the world of Marvel, we had Moon Knight episode 3. And yeah. I'm gonna say this up front. This to me was the best episode of Marvel Studios television that they've done on Disney Plus so far. The best single episode I have seen in any of the series, I think, was this. Huh. I enjoyed it so much.
No, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed it. I don't know if it was maybe the best. But again, I don't really know what I would consider to be the best right now, thinking back on it. But no, definitely this was.
I'll put it to you this way. To me, the best episode, single episode of anything so far, had been the Loki series finale, season finale.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. No, okay. I could see that. Yeah. And I'm still trying to figure out why these other gods are siding with this other guy so much. I don't understand. I really don't understand that.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say they're siding with him. I think that, as we found out in the episode, the gods, the Egyptian gods, as we know them, utilize human avatars, not just Khonshu. There is a meeting of the gods to discuss an issue. And it, to me, was clear that there is possibly a traitor amongst them. And so...
Yeah, absolutely.
I wouldn't necessarily say that they're just listening to him, but it does seem like there's obviously something more nefarious going on here that we just don't know yet. And, you know, we're halfway through this series. There's only 3 more episodes.
Yeah.
So I definitely feel, when I think back on Falcon Winter Soldier, for example, 3 episodes in, I still felt like nothing had really happened. Where 3 episodes into this thing,
there's a ton that's already happened.
Yeah. This series, I would say so far, to me, because it is involving a new character, is amazing. Because WandaVision was really great, but we already had these characters, already knew these.
We already knew Wanda. We already knew Vision.
Loki, similarly.
We already knew Loki. Yeah.
Where this one, man, this has just been so good.
Yeah, straight up right out of the box. I mean, it was like, okay, we get who he is. The fight for dominance and who's going to take over or who's going to be used, and so that's, yeah, absolutely all been very good.
Yeah, so I'm enjoying the series. I am every Wednesday excited to see the next episode. I haven't felt this strongly about a Disney Plus series probably since Loki. I enjoyed What If, and I watched it every week, but I wasn't like excited for it, if you will. Falcon Winter Soldier, I was not excited for it.
I was for that one, but that's just because I like those characters. So
again, I enjoyed it, Hawkeye, I wasn't excited for until certain stuff, you know.
Towards the end, yeah.
Yeah, in the beginning, I wasn't excited. This, I am excited for Wednesday to come to see episode 4. Like, I want it now.
I'm almost sad that it's going to be so short. I'm honestly, I'm really sad that it's going to be kind of short.
Yeah. So we'll see what comes in next week's episode. This week, I felt like was really great. We now have lost Khonshu. Does that therefore mean that Mark/Steven has lost their abilities? There's also what is going on, because there's someone else in control, because there have been times where Steven and Mark both say they weren't in control. So there's a third personality in there now, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, and then this whole thing too, is that there has been questions brewing between, technically Mark's wife, like, what is he hiding type stuff. And so there's some questions there that need to be answered. So, there's quite a bit to be resolved. And I mean, and he said, you know, make sure Mark finds me, like make sure Mark releases me. So, that's another thing that needs to happen as well. So I think right now the problem is that he has lost the power, but he's going to have to get that power back.
So sticking in the world of Disney Plus, and something that I know you, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, personally enjoy, and that is the Percy Jackson universe.
Oh yeah. No, I've loved the books. The problem has been is that the movies that they came out with were garbage.
Well, they have recast, and I believe they're doing a new movie. Could be a series. I haven't looked enough into this one just because it's not my thing. So I'll expect you to look into it.
I'll definitely look into that.
But there is a new Percy Jackson, and that has been filled by Walker Scobell, who, for those of you who don't know who he is, check out The Adam Project. He plays the young Adam in that film. And I thought
he's a good young actor. He's definitely a good young actor. So if they get the right people behind it, they get the right people cast in it, I think this could end up being a long series, because he's a little bit younger than what we know of Percy Jackson, but that's okay because he can actually grow. If they do like movies or whatnot, it can kind of be a Harry Potter situation where he grows with it. So,
yeah. So does this make you excited for what they're doing here, or are you still kind of just, I'll wait and see?
It's definitely a wait and see. I am excited that they're doing something. They're going to be doing something else with it, because the first movie left a lot to. I was fairly disappointed by that. The second one I started watching and I was just kind of like, meh. And so I'm excited to see what they do with this. If it's a series, I'm okay with that, because they can take their time with it, because there's number of books. But if it's movies, I'm okay with that too.
Fair enough. Well, another new announcement that came out this week in the form of a trailer coming to Amazon Prime, season 6 of The Kids in the Hall. What do you think of this?
This was not a series that I was really into when it was out. So I can't really speak to it. I mean, if they release the other seasons someplace, you know, I might have to check it, you know, I can give it a check and see if I enjoy it to go with a season 6. But,
well, you know, if you like Canadian humor, and you like sketch comedy, I would suggest going back and watching seasons 1 through 5 of The Kids in the Hall. I think all 5 of these gentlemen are extremely entertaining. And one of the things that I loved that they used to do on their show is they played all the parts. They played the male roles and female roles in the sketches that they would write. And I think that it was a lot of fun. I'm excited to see this series happen, especially considering, you know, they are all much older now. Probably the two most well-known are pretty much front and center in the image. Dave Foley down on the ground. He's been in multiple American sitcoms, as well as, and for the life of me, I can't remember his name, but he was the store manager in Superstore on NBC. So,
I'm only remembering his
Glenn
from Superstore. Okay,
yeah.
So I do like him. He's pretty funny to me.
Mark McKinney is the name.
There you go.
Yes, but the other three have all done other things on American sitcoms, whether it was bit parts or whatever, but not as well known, of course. So I'm excited just to see what they do with it, if they bring back some of their old characters from the sketches they used to do. You know, we've got Tyrus checking in. How you doing, Tyrus? So for me, I'm excited, and I would suggest, I would guess, since Amazon Prime is bringing this back, that probably they're on Amazon Prime. So you should probably give that a watch.
All right. Short layover. We're doing good here. Hope you're doing good, man.
So, James, last week we talked about our Alaska cruise and our first stop, which will be in Juneau, Alaska.
Juneau.
And I think it's time that we talk about our cruise some more.
Okay.
And before we get into our second stop, which is Skagway, I wanted to take a moment to just say thank you to everyone that has booked so far. We absolutely appreciate y'all joining the cruise. We think it's going to be a lot of fun. We hope that you're going to enjoy yourselves. There are still a lot of great deals available for those of you that are interested in joining the cruise.
Yeah.
You know, if you are interested, hit us up. We'll send you a link to the Facebook group to get you the information to contact our cruise consultant. With that being said, I did speak with our cruise consultant yesterday. And one thing that he wanted me to convey to our audience and to those that may have booked or may be thinking about booking is that the prices for a cruise are only as good as the day that you see that price right then and there. So if somebody posts and says, oh yeah, I paid $1,000, and you're like, well, I paid more than that, that doesn't mean that you're going to get that $1,000 price. You've got to call Terry, our cruise consultant, and say, hey, I heard this person was getting a better deal. I just want to check on my rates. He's happy to do that.
Yeah.
Now, what he has suggested, if you want to see if it's a better price, go onto the website, go through the process of booking a room with the same setup. You know, if it's you and another person, make sure you put two people. Make sure you choose all the options that you currently have. And if it's a better deal, pick up the phone and call him. Send him an email. And he will honor those prices if they are truly better. And if it's a worse price, you're not going to get hit. So, but don't look at a post that, you know, maybe I put 3-4 weeks ago, a month ago, saying this is what I paid, because the prices then may not be the same now. They might be more now. So, yeah. You know, do that research, you know, and the reason this came out is because earlier this week, or last week, actually, I had noticed, my wife had noticed actually, that the Ocean View rooms had dropped significantly. And so I reached out to you as well as Tyrus to say, hey, call Terry. The price has dropped. Get this better deal. And I know that Tyrus did pretty much almost immediately. And he saved himself, I believe, almost $700. And so that's huge. And I know you got the price dropped and you saved some money yourself.
Yeah. So, I mean, and definitely, so he's been good to us. So definitely if you're interested, check it out and give him a call and get set up so that, you know, you can join us on this. Cause it's going to be a lot of fun. We plan on having a lot. I mean, like,
and to be clear, we are,
I don't really care if you have a lot of fun, if everybody else has a lot of fun. I know I plan on having a lot of fun on this. So
and we are 1 year away.
Yeah.
It is, today is April 16th. We start our cruise April 15th of next year.
Oh,
so
yeah. Yeah.
We are 364 days away.
4 days away. Yeah.
So that's a little bit crazy to say that we are now less than a year until our cruise.
Yeah.
So I'm pumped. I'm excited. And I hope y'all are too. And with that being said, let's talk about Skagway, Alaska.
Okay. Let's talk about it.
So we're going to do kind of the same thing we did last week. We're going to talk about the shore excursions that are available at our Skagway stop. You know, we're not going to go through them with a fine tooth comb. I'm going to read out what they are, give you a brief synopsis. If you want to hear the full detail, we'll do that. And a lot of these are going to be similar to ones that we heard in Juneau. It's just they're in Skagway.
What's what do we have? What temperatures like?
Sure, give me just a second. Let's pull that up. We've got in Skagway, the average temperature when we're going is between 34 to 49 degrees with an average precipitation of 1.2 inches.
Okay, not too bad. So it could be rainy, but.
Yeah, it might be a little rainy, but maybe not.
Maybe not. I don't know.
So the way that I've set these is I've pulled just the shore excursions that should be available for when we go based on their length and based on all of that. So first up, we've got dog sledding and glacier flight scene helicopter.
I'm sure it's like the same like the last one.
Yeah, it's combining a helicopter flight scene tour with some dog sledding. So it's very similar to what we saw in Juneau. Are there people fighting outside of your house?
No, I think my brother was singing or something.
Ah,
it's been super windy down here in Vegas, by the way. It's really been like the past couple of days. It's been absolutely windy.
It's been very windy here as well, here in Northern Nevada. So
yeah. How much was that? How much was that one, by the way? The dogs. How much is that one?
That's $629, and it's a 2-hour excursion.
Oh, it's about the same. Yeah, it's about the same price.
Yeah, so it's a 30-minute flight. So no canes or crutches, no GoPro sticks or any extendable devices.
Oh, all right.
Next up, we've got a heli hike and White Pass Railway. So this is the first time you're going to hear the White Pass Railway mentioned. And you're going to hear the White Pass Railway mentioned multiple times today. And this is the train ride. And what I'd like to do for just a moment is get really quiet so we could all listen and enjoy your brother singing.
I think he's taking a shower. So his like, so basically that back wall where my dresser is, that's his bathroom is on the other side of that wall.
Well, you need to have a talk with him about when we're recording. I told him,
but I don't know if he, that's funny. Okay.
Continue. So Tyrus does call out, these prices seem to be super inflated. These are tourist towns that we are going to, and they haven't had much tourism in the last 2 years.
That could be.
Hopefully they will go down because I remember the dog sledding to be about $500.
And you went, what, just a few years back? Was it, did he say like it's been like 3 years or something like that since he's been?
I believe he said he went in the inaugural year, which I believe was 2018. So.
Oh, so.
Like so I'm sure he'll correct us if we're wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
But next up is the Heli Hike and White Pass Railway. So this is a three. And for those of you just catching up with us, a one is lazy. That's for me. A two is let's go do a little bit of activity. And a three is probably not so much.
Two is up my like a two is something I'd like to two is or something I'd like to do. One's I could definitely do. But yeah, threes, I'm not quite there yet.
So here, let me just read this one because this is an example of a three. It's our first example. So let's go ahead and just read it. So combine a scenic helicopter flight, a wilderness hike in the Tongass National Forest, and a ride aboard the historic narrow gauge White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. It's a perfect mix of breathtaking scenery, great transportation, and exercise. Board a helicopter for your flight with views of glacially carved valleys and stunning scenery before landing at Glacier Station. Set out on a 3 to 5 mile hike along the remote upper Skagway River and through pristine old growth and temperate rainforest on your way to see the magnificent Lawton Glacier. Your guide will share information about the region's unique natural history, plants, and animals throughout the hike and allow plenty of time for photography. Bears, mountain goats, moose, and other wildlife call Lawton Valley home. Return to Glacier Station and board the White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad for the 14-mile scenic ride back to Skagway while enjoying a snack and beverage en route. Your guide will provide an overview of the train and its history. Flight patterns vary based on current weather conditions. So that's a three.
Yeah, at the same time, I don't know if I mean, like, if I'm going to do the, if I'm going to do that train, I want to be able to really enjoy it. And I don't think me having walked around and stuff like that would be, you know, and then getting on this train would be super comfortable, at least for me, because I know I sweat. So,
yeah. So I'm again, a three does not interest me. I don't think I've seen one yet that I'm like, oh, yeah, I want to do that three.
Yeah, I don't think, I think that there's been some twos that I was like, yeah, but like, yeah, some of the threes, I think last week when we were talking, the threes were like, you know what, can I just meet you at the end?
Right? Because that's usually where the food is, right?
That's where the food and the drinks were.
Yeah. So next up, we've got Glacier Discovery by helicopter. So this is, you know, they fly you around and you get out and walk around on a helicopter. I'm sorry, walk around on the glacier. Yeah.
Wow, you can walk around on a helicopter? Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty big. Oh, and going back really quickly to that heli hike and White Pass Railway, that's 529. Just to give that, flesh that one out fully. Next up is one that you had mentioned that you had interest in, which is the ATV adventure at Glacier Point for 6.25 hours. That's $450 driving around in the rugged Alaskan outback. So that definitely seems like it could be an interesting one. For me, the one that I am most leaning towards right now is the VIP White Pass Scenic Railway. And this is a almost 3 hour duration. This is I'm just going to read this one. This is a level one, folks. So experience the dramatic beauty of Southeast Alaska while traveling aboard the White Pass and Yukon Route Railway's premier luxury parlor car. As you ascend from sea to summit, enjoy your inclusive beverages and regionally sourced appetizers as you share this unique experience with your travel companions. You'll be accompanied by a private guide who will highlight the scenic viewpoints and inform you about the Klondike Gold Rush and the building of the railroad. Your ride to the White Pass Summit will take you through two tunnels, over sky-high trestles, and into remote valleys, passing Bridal Veil Falls, Inspiration Point, and Dead Horse Gulch. This narrow-gauge railroad is an international historic civil engineering landmark, sharing the honor with the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, you've been talking about that since you first heard about that one. So
it's $399.
Yeah, you've been wanting to do that one since like day one.
Yeah, that's the one I'm the most leaning towards. Now, the one thing I will say is at Skagway, we're there for 10 hours, almost 11. So I got to talk to Terry about this, but I would imagine that if you're doing like two shorter ones, let's say, that should be completely feasible. So I could see Skagway being a place where I do two excursions, do the train and do something else. Just because why not? Especially since, as we discovered when we looked at some of this before, Skagway's got a lot of stuff going on that seems absolutely interesting.
Yeah.
And Tyrus, in regards to inflation stuff, says that he's mainly speaking about pre-COVID. He took a cruise to Cabo San Lucas, Mexico last year, and it was the same overinflated prices. And we've got our dam checking in. Brian's out there. He's saying, seems like the lower impact activities are the cheaper ones. Yeah, generally that's true.
It doesn't involve helicopters and stuff.
Yeah, why would I want to pay over $500 to go on a hike? No, thank you.
I can hike for free.
Right? next up, we've got the Glacier Point Wilderness Safari.
Yeah, Debbie checked in real quick. She said, depending on time for two excursions at one stop. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely depending on time. So,
yeah, absolutely. And as we've seen, some of these have daytime excursions and nighttime excursions. And so to me, this is going to be one of those stops where I could really see doing something in the morning and then, you know, having lunch or whatever, and then going out and doing something in the evening. So,
yeah. This is like our longest stop.
I think this one has the longest time that we're in port. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to glaze through some of these unless you want to hear them. Next up is the Denver Valley Wilderness Hike and White Pass Rail. Again, it's a level 3. That's a hike and a train ride. Then you've got the Lawton Glacier Wilderness Hike and White Pass Railway. So
keep going.
hike and a train ride. Oh, this one's even better. A White Pass Railway and Alpine Snowshoe Hike.
Hell no. Have me walking around in the cold. Got me messed up.
So this is one of the ones that I like as well, and I'm going to go ahead and read this one in its entirety. So this is the Best of Skagway and White Pass Railway. And this is actually a featured one on the NCL website. Okay. This is a 6.5-hour excursion.
Okay.
If you want to really experience Skagway, this tour will show you the best Skagway has to offer. Ascend the beautiful mountains on the White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. From your antique narrow gauge car, view incredible scenery as your tour guide shares stories and the history of the Klondike Gold Rush. In Fraser, British Columbia, you'll board a deluxe motor coach to travel to the spectacular Klondike Highway, taking in the sights of Tormented Valley and Pitchfork Falls. At the foot of the pass, nestled next to a waterfall, rests Liarsville Gold Rush Trail Camp and Salmon Bake. Here, a cast of sourdoughs and dance hall girls will entertain you with a hilarious melodrama and a poem. You'll be set free in the Liarsville goldfields, where you are guaranteed to find the precious metal that drove people wild with gold fever. Enjoy a barbecue of freshly grilled Alaskan salmon, baked beans, potatoes, coleslaw, sourdough rolls, coffee, lemonade, and hot apple strudel. You know, The Rock likes that. Wander over to camp to see the waterfall and have your picture taken with one of the dance hall girls. The grand finale is a visit to the Red Onion Saloon in the historic downtown Skagway. The Red Onion's madams will throw you a private party in the prestigious Red Onion brothel. Enjoy Alaskan amber beer, wine, or madam's punch as you are entertained by the tales of the girls who used to work in these historic rooms. You'll see the priceless nickel silver dress worn by the Onion's first madam and many other artifacts. Embrace the true spirit of 1898 and sign on for an experience of a lifetime. That all is 309.
Woo, sheesh. That's a lot going on there. That sounds like a blast and a half.
Yeah. So this is what I mean. Like, some of these are cheaper, but you feel like you might be getting more.
Way more.
So it's just a matter of what you're looking to do. Next up is the Last Frontier UTV Adventure, 6.5 hours driving out.
No, I want to know that one.
You want this one?
Yeah. Right.
Your tour begins with a short walk from the pier to board a catamaran for a scenic 45-minute cruise along North America's longest and deepest fjord to Haines. Along the way, you'll witness spectacular views of waterfalls and ice-sculpted peaks as your guide points out marine wildlife. Drive Razor-style UTVs in the Alaskan wilderness. Scenic mountain and river views with wildlife viewing opportunities abound. Your knowledgeable guide will meet you at the dock in Haines, a scenic 26-mile drive along the National Scenic Byway and through the Chitkat Bald Eagle Preserve brings you to our remote staging area. At the staging area, you'll receive an orientation and safety briefing on our Razor-style UTVs from your guides. Guests wishing to drive must be 21 years old and bring a valid driver's license. There are a combination of two-person and four-person machines to accommodate varying group sizes and families. There are several spots along the tour where we can swap drivers to give everyone some time at the wheel. The UTVs are automatic transmission and drive similar to a car for ease of operation. These high-performance UTVs are fun to drive and a great way to explore the Alaskan wilderness. Over the next 15 miles of gravel road, your guide will lead you through a series of remote areas and will explore the wilds of Alaska. As we drive along beaver ponds and mountain meadows, we may spot swans, salmon, eagles, bears, or moose along the way. We'll cross over Little Salmon Creek and ascend to a series of viewpoints overlooking the Klahini, Tsirka, and Chicat River valleys. From our high point, we'll enjoy a picnic lunch while we bask in the surrounding mountain views before you return to the fast ferry for the ride back to your ship. $299.
Yo, I'm not going to lie. Yes, the railroad sounds fun, like that last one you did, but that one also sounds like it could be really fun too.
And that's the hard part, right? Because I agree with you. This sounds like it would be an absolute blast. So that's where you've got to, okay, is there somewhere else on this trip at one of the other three stops that I can do something like this?
Right.
Next up is the White Pass Railway and Glacier Lake Kayak. That's only a level two, but you get to.
I'm not down with kayak, you know.
Fair enough.
Oh, this is the one I saw before. I think this is the one.
Gold Nugget Sled Dogs and Exclusive Scenic Railway.
Yeah, that's that one.
So this is a level one. It's a 6-hour excursion. And I'll just read the highlights. Okay. You get to visit a musher's camp and watch sled dogs demonstrate their strength and stamina, pan for gold, much like the prospectors did, and ride in a private railway car on the White Pass, following the route that the prospectors took.
Okay.
So this tour, there's a note, this tour includes approximately 2 hours of easy to moderate walking.
Oh, okay. That's not that bad.
I'm just saying.
2 hours.
Might not be hiking, but that's 2 hours of walking. Yeah, how many miles can you walk in 2 hours?
Nah, I don't really know because I haven't really walked 2 miles.
I'm saying even if you're lazy like me, you should be able to walk a mile in about 20 minutes. So you're talking about maybe 6 miles of walking.
Yeah, maybe not.
Just saying. This one sounds interesting, except I think you were a little scared. We talked about this one before. It's the White Pass Railway and Klondike Bicycle. It's 4.5 hours. You get to ride the train, and then you get to ride some bicycles 15 miles downhill.
Downhill, yeah. I was like, yikes.
Yeah. It definitely, if I enjoyed bicycling, I could see doing this, especially since it's downhill. I'm glad it's not uphill because that would be a no-go.
Right. But downhill, it's still, I mean, like that's some, I'm sure it's like some mountain biking. So I'm sure it's not going to be just like smooth sailing. So
yeah. Next up is the Crotial Wildlife Refuge. Sounds like it's just a big reserve where you can go look at animals.
Oh, I'm cool.
Triple adventure. Bike, hike, and float.
Nope.
It's a three.
Nope.
All right.
Like, that involves me doing activity at each stop of that? I'm cool.
Yeah. This next one, it sounded interesting, but then the more I read it, I'm like, I don't think I'll do it. But it's the Chilkoot Lake Wilderness Kayaking. It's 6.5 hours. It involves a 45-minute cruise. You get an hour, almost 2 hours to kayak. There's a nice lunch that they do for you, a picnic style lunch. And you get to hang out around the lake. And like I said, it sounds nice, but then I'm like, I don't think I'm going to enjoy it. So,
yeah.
Next up, Eagle Preserve Float, 6.5 hours. You interested in floating down a river?
Is this like a raft type deal?
Yeah, so a high-speed catamaran will take you to Haines, and then a rafting adventure in the Chicat Bald Eagle River Reserve. and a riverside picnic make this wildlife tour of a lifetime?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think I would only want to do it if I was with a group of people that were going to do it. Like if there was going to be, you know, 5 to 8 other people with me.
Yeah, I feel you.
We're all going to be in the same boat.
Same boat, yeah.
Next up is the Haines Native Culture Experience. Do you have any interest in learning about the Native people of Alaska?
I thought we had something like that on the last one. In Juneau.
No. Nope.
Just what are the highlights of that one?
So this one doesn't lay out highlights. Let's just skim it. Your tour begins as you board a high-speed catamaran to Haines. Then you get to go on a 22-mile drive up to the Chitkat Valley. There's a 40-minute scenic drive through the valley. Then you'll come to the Eternal Village of the Chitkat people. I hope I'm saying that close to right. I'm not trying to say it wrong intentionally. You'll get to see a makeshift camp that is meant to symbolize or resemble their type of village. You'll get to hear storytelling and interpretation of its totemic artworks, so totems. Get to see and hear about their basket weaving. And then there's a gift shop, so you could buy some local native crafts.
Yeah. I don't think that's something that I'm not trying to be any way disrespectful, but I just don't think that would interest me.
Yeah. Next up is the Haines Wilderness Odyssey by jet boat. So getting off a big boat to get on a little boat to cruise around.
Yeah. No.
White Pass Railway and Suspension Bridge. So this is a 5-hour excursion. It's a level one. Basically, you get to go on the train, but then you also get to go to the Tagish First National staff and elders to answer questions about the site of this Yukon Suspension Bridge as you cross it over a raging river below.
Oh, that could be interesting.
Yeah. How about a horseback adventure? Does that interest you?
I've ridden horses a couple times, and no, that does not interest me.
Well, there is a horseback adventure for anybody that might be interested, and that's $249. Wildlife safari and bear viewing?
Oh.
You do not get a gun.
I don't plan on shooting anything.
I'm sorry. I am not going to look for bears unless I have a gun.
Is this like a hike or something? Is this like some sort of vehicle?
This is a level one, so... Let's just read through it. Your excursion begins from Skagway on a 45-minute high-speed catamaran ferry to the small town of Haines. A lot of these seem to start that way. Yeah. Upon arriving in Haines, we'll start with a narrated driving tour through historic Fort Seward, the first military base in Alaska. Leaving town, we will journey through the amazing Chukut Valley. On our journey to the Chukut River corridor, we take in coastal views along the longest fjord in North America. We may spot seals, sea lions, porpoise, and whales feeding in these rich waters. The Chukut River is home to some of the best bear viewing in Alaska. The river's huge salmon runs bring good numbers of bears every year. Situated among rugged glaciated peaks, it is home to numerous brown bears, mountain goats, salmon, river otters, and innumerable bald eagles. This area is a birdwatcher's paradise with abundant local and migratory birds. Powerful spotting scopes or binoculars will often allow close-range views of mountain goats grazing in high alpine meadows and nesting eagles on this tour. After capturing images and experiencing the incredible natural beauty and wilderness and wildlife of the Chukut River Corridor, we'll enjoy a seaside picnic of sandwiches, chips, fruit, and cookies. Following lunch, we will head to the mouth of Chitkat River, home of the largest concentration of bald eagles in the world. Our final stop on the tour is habitat to all 5 species of wild Pacific salmon, drawing all of Alaska's predators to its shores. The four ice-capped mountain ranges that surround the Chukat River provide an unparalleled photography opportunity. A short drive back to town brings us to the ferry for the return journey to Skagway. Do not forget your camera.
Yeah, no, that actually does sound pretty cool, not gonna lie.
It sounds relaxing.
Yeah, it's chill.
Yeah. Next up is another featured one. And I'm not going to read through the whole thing because I'm sure by now you can gather what's going on here. White Pass Railway, Klondike Goldfields, and Panning.
Oh. So it's basically like, that's just minus the show and the food, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Next up is the Grizzly Falls Ziplining Expedition.
Oh, snap.
You ready?
How long is that one?
This one's 4 hours.
Yo, yeah, give it to me.
All right. Fast, fun, and exhilarating. This adventure is sure to excite nature lovers and thrill seekers alike. Get a running start on solid ground and take flight into the treetops of the Alaskan rainforest. Enjoy an entertaining tour through historic Skagway and along stunning coastline to Daia. After you suit up in gear that meets the highest safety standards, your guide will explain how to safely navigate the course. Then clip in and fly away through a course of 10 zip lines and 4 suspension bridges. And this is more than just any zip course. These lines will bring you directly above glacially fed waterfalls. This course also includes specialty lines such as the pipeline that's longer than 2 football fields combined. Zoom across the lines where you can reach speeds of 45 miles per hour.
Yo.
For the more cautious adventurers, rest assured that your guides will show you how to control your own speed.
Yo.
$239.
How long is that one?
4 hours.
Whew. Sheesh. Man, I know there's a couple more zip lines, so that one, yikes. Kind of want to, I definitely want to do a zip line, something or other.
Fair enough. Next up is the Ocean Raft Wildlife Adventure, 2.5 hours.
Nah.
All right. Chukut Trail Hike and River Float?
Nah.
White Pass Railroad and Klondike Highway, foreign language.
Oh,
it's just it's the same thing.
They have multiple languages on that one.
Yes. Mushers Camp and Slog Dead. Mushers Camp and Sled Dog Discovery.
Say that again. How long is that one?
3.25 hours. It's a level 2.
Is there food involved?
Not as far as I can tell.
Probably not then.
Sawtooth Mountain Hike and White Pass Railway?
No.
White Pass Scenic Railway? Just the train ride?
Oh, just the train ride? No.
Alpine Lake Canoe Adventure?
Definitely not.
Historic Daia Walk and Mushers Camp?
So I'm guessing it's the same as the others, just kind of...
Yep, it's a level 1. The highlights say enjoy an enlightening walk through a gold rush boomtown that is now abandoned. Visit a mushers camp to learn how the dogs are trained to pull sleds through the snow. Interact with the dogs, which are superb athletes with remarkable strength and stamina.
Hmm. I mean, how long is that one?
2.75 hours.
It's not too bad. That's something that you can do when you get there and then maybe do something else later.
So here's one that I might want to do. Klondike Summit Suspension Bridge and Salmon Bake. So this one, the adventure begins with a scenic motor coach ride along the Klondike Highway, paralleling the route used by prospectors during the 1898 Klondike Gold Rush. You'll ascend to 3,290-foot White Pass Summit, while you take in the magnificent scenery surrounding you. Your ride continues as you travel just a few miles north to the famous Yukon Suspension Bridge. While at the bridge, experience the sensation of a swaying walkway 57 feet above the rapids of the Tatushi River. Enjoy the scenery from the main platform and then walk through the museum quality displays that detail the area's unique human and natural history. Next, you'll head to Lyersville Gold Rush Trail Camp for the Salmon Bake Buffet. Enjoy wild Alaskan salmon grilled over open wood fire. Baked chicken, salads, beans, pilaf, so on and so forth. 180.
Oh, yeah. Those bakes are those salmon bakes are the seller.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Next up, Last Frontier Zipline and Adventure Pack.
Another zipline?
Yep. This one's 3.25 hours, and it's 180. It seems to be a shorter course. It's 6 zip lines and some suspension bridges. So a little bit on the shorter side.
Yeah, but
then still. You've got Mushers Camp and Gold Panning. Go What's Local, that? A look into the local's past. It's 2.5 hours. Hold on. Delve into Skagway's wild and woolly past by hearing tales of the early settlers and discussing the town's raucous, freewheeling history over a few beers.
Oh.
While driving through Skagway, you can expect to see historical buildings such as the driftwood-adorned Arctic Brotherhood Hall and the notorious Red Onion Saloon. And it's basically a tour of the area. While having the opportunity to have some beers.
I'm not down. I wouldn't say I'm not down to do that.
But it doesn't include the beers. So keep that in mind.
Never mind.
However, it does say the last line. Afterwards, you can discuss what you've seen while sampling a selection of local beers at a microbrewery. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe. We'll see.
Next up, Mushers Camp and S'more Roasting Adventure.
Nah.
This one is called the Big Nugget, which involves
gold panning. Gold...
Yep. These came out really weird. Yukon Territory Scenic Drive. It's a 6-hour scenic drive.
I don't want to make a car that long.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Here you go. This one sounds right up your alley. Klondike Rock Climbing and Rappelling.
Oh, yeah, because that's totally something.
The rappelling
part I'd be down with, not so much the rock climbing.
No, you don't want to go rock climbing for 3.25 hours for $150?
Sure don't.
How about the Klondike Bicycle Tour?
Is there food involved?
No.
Then no.
All right, historical city, gold camp, and salmon bake.
I mean, if it's probably just like the other ones, right?
Yeah, just it's a walk around the city. It looks like with the salmon bake.
Yeah, I mean that's something I'd probably be interested in doing.
Yeah, and that one's only $140. So, you know, if you want to do some of this stuff on the cheap, you can absolutely do that.
Yeah.
Skagway Adventure Hike. Nope. Gold Fever and Sled Dogs sounds a lot of the same. Lyersville Salmon Bake, so just straight up salmon bake. That's it. An hour and a half for $90.
It's not bad.
Skagway's original streetcar.
Oh, that could be interesting.
So you drive around Skagway in an old style streetcar. That's kind of cool.
Learning some history and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Get a little tour.
Yeah.
This one could be fun. And it is the last one. So Ghost and Good Time Girls Walking Tour. I'm going to read this one.
Yeah.
It's 2 hours. Step back in time with one of the sensational madams of the Red Onion Saloon, lavishly costumed and highly entertaining. She'll greet you with a souvenir garter. She'll guide you through the streets and back alleys of Skagway, where women of the evening brush shoulders with notorious characters like Soapy Smith and Frank Reed. You'll pass historic and haunted Gold Rush buildings as you learn of Skagway's rich history. Your experience culminates with a stop at the world-famous Red Onion Saloon Restored Brothel Museum. Join in a champagne toast and explore the halls and bedrooms of this celebrated brothel with relics and images of the ladies who worked there. If you're lucky, you might even catch a glimpse of the resident ghost, Lyndia.
Ooh.
$79.
All right. That doesn't sound half bad. A little bit of fun.
Yeah. So that is Skagway. A lot going on there.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, why do they have to have so many? some of these things they have are like, yes. And it's like, why are they all in the same place?
Yeah. So, that was Skagway. We've now covered Juneau and Skagway. Next up will be Ketchikan. And we will cover that on our next episode. So we hope you enjoy this. For those of you that are going on the cruise, hopefully this helps tickle your fancy around trying to figure out what you might want to do and give you an insight to what we're thinking about doing.
And for some of those that aren't going, hopefully this is like, yo, that sounds like fun. I might need to get in on this.
Yeah, because this cruise is going to be a lot of fun. So, yeah. James, we've finished another week of Fat and Black here. Any little closing thoughts?
I almost don't want to end it, but you know, I know we got to. Man, I'm just excited. I'm excited. This is getting real. It's getting real.
Yeah.
I like it.
So finally, let's close out the show. Another huge loss this last week. Iago from Aladdin.
I was so sad when I heard this. I was like, no!
Yeah, there was I don't know if you saw, but there was a photo from earlier this year, and it was a photo of Bob Saget and him and Louis Anderson. And it was Gilbert had posted it himself, like right after Louis passed, and you know, tons of people were making comments, you know, protect Gilbert, like yada yada yada. And here we are, you know, a few short weeks later, and we've lost another great mind, great comedian, annoying voice.
Oh, like absolutely. Louis Anderson. But you know what's so funny is that the last I was listening to something. It was on Netflix as a joke radio, and it's Bob Saget and Gilbert Gottfried at I can't remember his name right now. It's two comedians, and they do the roasts and stuff on the Comedy Central roast. Mm-hmm. And they had this interaction between each other, which is absolutely hilarious. And I'm just like, why? And now, you know, at the time it was just Bob Saget had passed away, and now Gilbert has passed away, and so it's like,
So 2022 just keeps taking.
Yeah,
doesn't seem to be given much, just seems to keep taking.
But you know, it's like we talked about before, it's gonna start happening, because you know, we're as we get older, some of those people also get older. So
yes.
Yeah,
well, up until now, it was fun.
Oh yeah, I mean, that's why we put that stuff at the end, so you know, it doesn't hamper the show at all. But it's always kind of stinks to end it on a sad note. But
yeah,
hey, it's the way it is.
Absolutely. Well, my friend, enjoy the rest of your Saturday.
And, I will. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you as well for tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, he is risen. And we'll chat real soon.
Absolutely. So we don't have any set date for next week. We'll figure it out and we'll make sure to post it. You know, thank you guys for being here with us. I know it's been, Tuesdays might not really work anymore just because we're both working. But you know, hey, change is good sometimes. So until next time, we will see you guys later.